morning, everyone. What we just sang was a little bit about what I want to share, and I'm grateful that sometimes that happens. It's not the particular subject that I had in mind, but it includes the blood of Jesus Christ, and in a way that perhaps goes all the way back to the beginning in Genesis, to the first sermon ever preached by the Lord God himself to Adam and Eve, and it just happens to be that Satan was there. It amazes me that the Lord God tells everything in Genesis 3:15 and sets in motion all of history for the coming forth of the seed of woman to bruise the head of Satan. But it says that he'll bruise the heel of Jesus, or it'll bruise his heel. And I believe that's speaking of the Son of Man, which we'll talk about here in a moment. But what I wanted to start off with is talking about the difference between bruised and bruised. And if you know anything anatomically and about our bodies, bruise is blood that's underneath the skin, can be in the brain, cause traumatic brain injury, and kill someone. And I believe that it's a subject that in the Hebrew is defined such that we could probably distinguish between the bruise in Genesis 3:15 and the bruised in Isaiah 53:5. So what I want to do is introduce by saying Isaiah 49:24-26, it says, "Shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered? But thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. For I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children." Wonderful passage of Scripture. And what I want to draw the attention to is that there is a prey, and there is those that are captive, and there's a deliverer. And it's through the blood, and it's through the life of Jesus Christ, the Son of Man. So when the Lord God, which I personally believe was the pre-bodily form of Jesus Christ in the garden, talked to Adam and Eve and gave Adam the law not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and then that law was given to him, and then the fall occurred. Shortly thereafter, there's the Genesis 3:15 account of what was going to happen that I believe led to what this passage of Scripture talks about: shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered? All of humankind, it says in Romans 5:12-13, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For unto the law was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law." If the Lord God had not given Adam the law of not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he wouldn't have sinned. He could have eaten of it, right? But the law was given to him. He fell, and it was imputed to him. Sin was imputed to him. And the whole human race was plunged in a state of being captive to Satan. He owned us. He owned our... We fell in Adam, and Satan... we would one day go to where Satan is going, to the lake of fire, had not we had a Redeemer. So what I want to share with you this morning is the difference between bruise and bruise. And it just happened to sing that song a while ago about the blood. And I think there's a connection with all this. And the fact that our Savior and Lord, the Lord God, his heel, it means that in the fullness of time, 4,000 years later, he would come as the Son of Man and live a perfect human life and go to the cross, and more specifically, the 3 hours of darkness from 12 to 3, the sixth hour through the ninth hour, and he would take the prey out of Satan's hands. Who are the prey? God's children. The elect family of God would be delivered. And I love the fact that throughout the Bible, it's one story of a covenant theology of his love for his people and what he would do to redeem us. We have a brother right now in heaven named Jesus Christ, the Son of Man. He's our elder brother and kinsman redeemer. He was made like us in order to take that prey out of Satan's hands. Therefore, he has to be doing this for a specific people. You don't take the prey out of Satan's hands, the whole human race, out of that human race, those that were chosen before the foundation of the world, and redeem them, then lose them to hell. It does not make sense. The only truth that makes sense is that Jesus Christ did save his people from his sin. He did deliver, like it says in Isaiah, "Shall the prey be taken from the mighty?" The mighty is the devil. "Or the lawful captive deliver?" We were lawfully under the law of sin and death. The whole human race was destined for eternal damnation. But he took out of the hands of Satan those of his children and redeemed them. How did he do that? He did it as a perfect human being. Satan hates humanity. He hates Jesus Christ, the Son of Man. We have the Son of Man right now sitting in heaven. And Satan right now has been bruised. But that occurred when the Father bruised Jesus Christ, the Son of Man. So let's look at Genesis 3:15 just for a moment. It says, 14 through 15, "And the Lord God said unto the serpent," this was after the fall, when all the blame was placed, and it's interesting that the Lord God, you know, Adam got to say his response was to what happened, and Eve said what she said, and the Lord God just turned to the serpent and said these words. "And the Lord God said unto the serpent," remember, first church meeting, isn't it interesting that the family comes first, a man and woman are married by God, and that's the first church, and Satan's there, and the Lord God's preaching this sermon. Okay, he sets the stage for all of him, of our time right there in these verses. "And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." In verse 15, it's interesting. It says, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman." We know the woman, the seed of the woman, is Mary, and that Jesus Christ did not come from Joseph, although he was claimed to be a bastard by the religious leaders of that day, and they believed that he had came from a man. No, he came from the Holy Spirit conceiving him in Mary. So this woman here is Mary, and that she is the one that Jesus Christ would come through. And it says, "Between thy seed and her seed." Her seed is Jesus Christ. Thy seed. All of us are literally in our flesh. We are a product, or if you will, a result of this fall. We are the seed of Satan in our flesh. And that's something that we need to get a grasp on, that our flesh hates God. Our old nature hates God, and is used by Satan in manifestation. We are literally, when we're operating in the flesh, we are literally the body of Satan operating in this world. Satan is a spiritual being. He's only at one place at one time. He's not omnipotent. He's not omnipresent. He's not all powerful. But he can use all of humanity to manifest his evil. Through how? It says the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. So the only hope that we have is a Redeemer that bought us back, took that prey out, and we in our new nature can manifest the love of God. But we have a struggle. From time to time, when we follow our flesh, we are literally doing those things that Satan would have us do. But he's only one being at one place at one time, and being a spiritual being, he also has a lot of angels that are behind him. And then he has our flesh. So the Lord God in that garden, I believe, said, I'm going to come one day and I'm going to bruise your head. And you will only bruise my heel. But that is in the physical sense because that's all he could affect. He could not touch Jesus spiritually. He couldn't touch him. Jesus Christ lived a perfect human being life as the Son of Man. After fasting for 40 days, Satan said, I'll get him. I'll appeal to his humanity and get him to fall so he'll be a spotted lamb. And he can't redeem mankind. Jesus Christ, as the Son of Man says, for it is written, he never sinned. And so, this bruising of his head, I would like to look at a little bit, and the bruising of his heel, but more specifically in Isaiah 53, it talks about the Lord God, or God bruising bruising Jesus Christ. All right. We know that bruising is blood pooling underneath the skin. Where you get a blow on your arm or leg or whatever, and the blood kind of covers the tissue underneath. A traumatic brain injury is where the brain actually is moved around inside the head and banged up against the walls, and then the blood vessels are broken, and then blood collects and can push the brain and leading to death. It also can cause persistent headaches, mental fatigue, physical fatigue, paralysis, weakness, tremors, seizures, and sensitivity to light. I thought that was interesting. Remember, Satan was defeated in the 3 hours of darkness. When Christ said, it is finished, he took what that Satan had gained of his in the children that Jesus died for, he took out of the hands of Satan. And so, what I believe is that Satan, right now, is got a short time on this earth. And he's headed for the lake of fire. The angels are headed for the lake of fire. All the people on the face of the earth out of the family of God that were not chosen before the foundations of the world are headed toward that end where everyone is separated. Satan's not going to be there with a bunch of people, and there will be, like some people claim, there will be a hell party. It'll be all spread out. And the damnation that he receives as well as all the non-elect has been taken by Jesus Christ in the 3 hours of darkness. So let's read the difference between the bruise in Genesis 3:15, and it says in the Hebrew that the words there, the bruise his heel and bruise the head of Satan, is the word shoof, S-H-O-O-F, is pronounced that way, and it means to break. Are to cover. Okay? Whereas in Isaiah 53, and let's read that account of the bruise with the ED ending. Whereas in Genesis 3:15, it's just B-R-U-I-S-E. In Isaiah 53, it says these words, 3-5. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and he hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised, B-R-U-I-S-E-D, for our iniquities, speaking of Jesus Christ in the 3 hours of darkness. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. If you look in the Hebrew, in the Strong's Concordance for that bruise, it is dakal, which interesting is what the prison in with the Nazis was, dakal prison. And this word means, in this text, to beat to pieces, to break, to destroy, to crush, to oppress, to smite. So in this passage of scriptures, the Father did this to his Son in order for him to experience what we deserve as his children. And it has, I like to think with an ED ending, it has eternal destiny consequences. What Satan did cannot affect our eternal destiny, or rather, what he did to all of humankind affected all of humankind, but what Jesus did was to pay that price so that we are no longer his captives. We no longer can be go where he's going. And thank God that is true. But Satan will be receiving the same thing that Jesus Christ received. He will be broken to pieces. He will be crushed in the lake of fire. All the non-elect will be the same thing. Whereas Jesus paid our breaking and he was bruised for our iniquities, we don't receive that. So he took our eternal destiny, our eternal consequences, whereas Satan will have to pay his own one day. And it will not. What Jesus did will not redeem him. Will not redeem any of the fallen angels. And it only redeemed those that he died for. Satan, to me, it's interesting. There are some verses in the Bible that talk about his fall. In Ezekiel 28:11-19, and I'm not going to read all of it. It talks about, thou wast, before sin was found in him, it says, thou wast perfect, speaking of Lucifer, in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. And it says in 17, thy heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. Satan fell. And next thing you know, he's in the garden. And his involvement in mankind is leading us to fall through one man, Adam, and plunge the whole human race into that state of being. So there's verses in Isaiah 14:12-15 I'd like to read about five things that Satan wants to do. He will not be successful in doing, but he can, through our flesh, accomplish some of these things, but it will not have eternal consequences because our new nature was bought and paid for, and that's what is going to heaven, to be reunited with our resurrected body. Our old nature is going to be eliminated. It's the price has been paid for that. In Isaiah 14:12-15, it says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, and here's five I wills he says he's going to do. I will ascend into heaven. Well, we see a count of him ascending to heaven and accusing Job, a just and perfect man. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. So anytime our flesh wants to do any of these things, and what we do in religion is some of these things, same thing. Because I think that Satan wants to come against the camp of saints and that holy city, or spirit and truth worship. He does not like the fact that he was defeated by the perfect human being. And he hates it. And he says, I'm going to do all these things. And anytime our flesh participates in, you know, raising a religion, or talking about, like Brother Marty talked about last week, things that we do to go to heaven, you're ascending your throne above God. You're saying, God, I think you need some help here. And we can do all these same things that Satan did way back before he even appeared on earth and led to the fall of Adam. But he's still alive and well today in using the kingdom of darkness and using our flesh as means of manifesting himself in this world. So we need to beg God for help. We need help. We have a struggle inside. So I want to close with a few verses and then I'll sit down. In 2 Corinthians 4:6-12, it says, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus Christ might be made manifest in our body." And that's through the new nature and denying the flesh. "For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you." In 1 John 1:7, it says, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." I think his blood covers our sin. Satan can't go through the blood of Jesus Christ. What is so much needed is, as the Son of Man, he was made what we are, sin. In body, mind, and spirit. His blood covers our sin so that Satan cannot touch us anymore. He does not own us anymore. And I'm grateful for that. In 1 Peter 1:18-21, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God." I'd like to talk just a little bit about this raised him from the dead. Because when he was made to be what we are in body, mind, and spirit, that was the lake of fire coming to the cross. You call it a dimensional time shift, whatever you want. But he had to pay what we deserve in the place that we deserve. Therefore, eternal damnation was in him, and the wrath of God bruised him because he had to be made what we are. And he could not escape. And then it says that he was raised from the dead. This, brothers and sisters, is not the 3 days later raising from the dead. He was raised from the dead at 3 p.m. For when he was in that darkness and in that lake of fire, he said, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" He's been, at that moment, he suffered, I believe, every mental, physical, spiritual illness. His blood, everything about him was made to be sin. But at three, his blood was perfect. He was again the Lamb of God that had taken away the sin of the world. He was the Lamb of God at 11:59:59, but 1 second later, he was made to be sin, and he was condemned under the law of sin and death. And the penalty that we deserve in Adam, he paid it for all his children. Praise God. And when God was pleased that his son had been bruised enough, he raised him from the dead, meaning he restored him. His blood's perfect and covers us now. That bruised the head of Satan. He can't touch us. We're covered. No different, I think, than the in the 10th plague when the blood was applied to the side posts and to the lintel, and those inside the house were saved that night. But the firstborn of animals and man, even the Pharaoh's son, the life was taken because they weren't covered by the blood. Jesus Christ owns our firstborn. Our firstborn is our Adam nature. We are represented by Adam in the fall, and therefore our old nature is not going to go to eternal damnation. The non-elect, that's all they have is an old nature that will have a body that will be in eternal damnation forever. But our old nature is going to be eliminated at death. We have to have another new nature that is created in Christ Jesus in his righteousness. And it says, whatsoever is born of God cannot sin. Therefore, a part of us can't sin, and a part of us does nothing but sin. And when we manifest the works of the flesh in Galatians 5 that it talks about, we are literally being an extension of the body of Satan. And you see all the hurt and all the pain and all the suffering in this world today. Just remember that Satan right now, I believe, is in the bottomless pit, restricted horizontally, as Brother Marty has said on occasion. He can't go back and forth to God. You know, he will be loose one day to come against the campus saints in that holy city, which is spirit, truth, worship. He may be loose like right now. I don't know. But we better prepare ourselves to be strong in the faith against the wiles of Satan, because he moved about as a roaring lion. And I really believe that we need help. Really need help. And we need to go back to that Egyptian example. Jesus Christ was the firstborn of God, and his life was taken in order to redeem us. His life was taken in 3 hours, and he paid that price. So there's a lot of things that going on in that example. And then going through the Red Sea is a picture of our regeneration. We're separated out of the camp of Satan, who is represented by the Pharaoh himself. He doesn't own us anymore. Although the Jewish people followed their flesh and were griping and complaining and all the things that they did in their flesh, they weren't going back to Egypt. Pharaoh didn't own them anymore. Satan doesn't own us. So how do we gripe and complain? In our old nature. We need to stop doing that and see what we have that Christ purchased for us with his blood. Like I said, it covers us. It's a force field or whatever you want to call it. Satan can't penetrate it. We are kept by his power. And one day we look toward his coming back, and we will meet him in the air, and forever we shall be. We're not staying around. There's no physical kingdoms here on earth. There's no 1,000-year reign. He's been ruling for the last 2,000 years. Why do we want to put his reign out there when he's already reigning? He's ruling in the hearts of his children and born in them again, even down to one-celled baby that dies in the womb. He is ruling. He's victorious. He's the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And He is coming back to take His people home. So He is our brother that died for us. In war, we talk about that. Of someone going out and taking the death and saving others. He took our death. He took what we deserve and covered us with His blood. And we're so thankful for that. May we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, Lord, our elder brother and kinsman redeemer, we do not deserve what You have given for us. We deserve to suffer, Lord, in the lake of fire, but You took that suffering. You covered us with Your blood, Your perfect blood. Your blood has been made perfect. You said it is finished, and it is finished. You have redeemed a people. You have done what You came to do and taken the prey out of Satan's hands, and he doesn't own us anymore. You have removed us out of the Pharaoh's Egypt, and we're so thankful. We ask that You would bless us to not manifest the fruit of the works of the flesh and do those things that Satan would have us to do, but that we would live in true righteousness and holiness. And it says, be holy, for the Lord thy God am holy. The only thing that's holy in us is You and our new nature, whom we thank You so much for what You've done for us. We ask You to bless us, to remind us that You paid it all, and we are washed in Your blood. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are to submit ourselves as living sacrifices. Through our new nature, Lord, we are to glorify You. And we thank You, Father, that our old nature has no control over our eternal destiny. That's been paid for. Help us, please, to love You with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourself. And reach out, Lord, as You're being citizens of that holy city in spirit and truth worship, that we can right now proclaim the finished work of Christ. It's not evolution that we came to know You, Lord. It is by divine creation that You have put Yourself in us through Your death, burial, and resurrection. We thank You that, God, You raised Your Son from the dead, from that damnation at 3 p.m. so that He could say, it is finished. Father, again, into Thy hands I commend my spirit. And He went to be with You. We thank You so much, Lord, that You're going to come back and take us home. We don't belong here. We search, we seek that place where we can forever glorify You in our and be together with You, Lord, and love You and serve You even in that place. But even now is the greatest opportunity of all. While we have this struggle between the old nature and the new nature, we have the greatest opportunity to exhibit faith and to show our love for Thee, and we thank You for that. Please be with those that mentioned in sickness and help them, Lord, to have a measure of grace and be able to be whole, Lord, in whatever way You see fit, Father. We thank You for that. Please bless this nation. I'm still praying, Lord, for justice. I still pray for truth to prevail and that the enemy will be defeated. God, in the Bible, You show so many battles where the enemy killed themselves. We're just going to blow the trumpet of Zion, the gospel, truth, and let the enemy kill themselves. Thank You, Lord. Please bless Brother Marty as he comes before us. Please give him what he needs to share with us to help edify and build us up. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen.